I think in a lot of cases, women are relegated to more of the low value, but high criticality to organizations. So things like kind of mentoring or coaching or some of the operational details, as opposed to getting access to, you know, the technology side or the digital transformation or the core business. Women tend to take on more of those, you know, I've heard it called office housework type activities, which then doesn't set them up for the kind of professional development, set them up for the right networking and mentorship, because they're not accessing or spending as much time on the high value activities.
I'm Michelle King, and you are listening to She Innovates. It's a show that shares the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women and men across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. We've probably all heard the term the glass ceiling, which is often used to describe the invisible barriers that prevent women from advancing to senior leadership roles. The general view is that women face these barriers later on in their career. But what if this isn't the case? To answer this question, Accenture conducted a survey of 2,907 young professionals aged 30 and under who've been in the workforce for 5 years or less. Their findings are outlined in the September 2018 report, Getting to Equal 2018 Young Leaders, and they reveal that women aged 30 and under will experience several barriers to their career advancement within the first 5 years of working life. Managing Director at Accenture Labs, Mary Hamilton, will join us on the podcast today for a deeper dive into the report. Mary's going to be sharing with us the factors that drive inequality among millennial women, and she'll also reveal the key actions that leaders and organizations can take to remove these barriers.
So typically the storyline goes, you know, as women try to advance in their careers and they get to the point where, you know, they're hitting glass ceiling, they're stepping away for families, you know, that's where all these, you know, the pay gap and the challenges are coming. What we wanted to investigate was really how early does that start and what does it mean and what are the specific challenges and what are some of the reasons that we're seeing women run up against these challenges and how quickly do those reasons become apparent.
One of the main highlights of the report shows that within the first 5 years of their career, young women earn 6% less than young men.
And we're seeing a challenge in pay raises. So looking at the past 3 years of a person's career, within that early time frame, 67% of young men were receiving pay raises, where only 56% of young women were receiving pay raises. And then the last piece is around how quickly they're promoted up to senior ranks. And again, this is, you know, by the time they've reached 30, 8% of men are more likely to become managers. And even more starkly, 22% are more likely to have reached senior manager than their women counterparts.
Apart from acknowledging that the problem exists, Mary goes on to identify what drives these key challenges for young women.
So I think one, what we've seen is around digital technology gaps. So the experience that women are reporting having with technology or digital capabilities is significantly less from young women to young men. So 62% of young women say that they have had technology or digital experience since graduating, and 77% of young men say the same. So this is self-reported, right? It's things like taking a coding or computer class. It's working with IT, digital technology within their company. And then turning it a little bit sideways, also looking at how many men versus women are proactively trying to learn those skills. And young men are a third more likely to proactively try to learn new digital or technology skills. So, you know, 40% men versus 30% women. And to me, being a woman in technology, this one struck me. And I have a couple thoughts on it, actually. You know, my first thought is, are women accurately reporting their comfort and skills within digital and technology, right? So we're seeing a lower number. One, are they getting access to it? Are they being tagged for technical roles? Do they have the confidence or interest to take a coding or computing class to think that they'll be successful with those skills? And then the second piece of it, digital technologies like social media are actually used more extensively by women than men. And yet, I might argue, if they're using a product in depth and they're understanding that product and have opinions about that product and perspective on how that technology works or should work or doesn't work, they're gaining technology and digital skills and experience, but they may not report that as, when asked, do you have technology skills? They may not be reporting that they feel confident that they are technical or, they're digital. So in looking at that number, I think there's probably two pieces to it. One is access to those technologies. And then the other part is when they do have access, are they understanding how many skills they're gaining and how to apply those skills to what they're doing?
And it's not just a difference in digital skills and experience. Young women also face more barriers to professional training compared to their male colleagues.
So, when you think about professional training, having access to understand how to become an executive, right, to go through professional development, even in those early years, men have greater access to that kind of professional development, so 70% versus 60%. And when you think about just access to regular training, only 38% of young women were getting access to training versus 45% with young men.
Finally, the lack of access to mentors and organizational networks also contributes to inequality among young professionals.
I think part of it is what we've talked about over and over again, that the onus is being put on the women to engage and to, go out and find a network and do this yourself, as opposed to culturally thinking about this from an organizational standpoint. And then the other piece of it that I've seen come through, just from my own anecdotal experience, is often women are taking on some of the office work that isn't as high value, right? So if you think about when do you get professional development and when do you have access to mentors, it's when you're engaged in the truly high value activities within your company or organization. And, this wasn't in the survey, this is my set of reflections, but I think in a lot of cases, women are relegated to more of the low value, but high criticality to organizations. So things like kind of mentoring or coaching or some of the operational details, as opposed to getting access to, the technology side or the digital transformation or the core business. Women tend to take on more of those, I've heard it called office housework type activities, which then doesn't set them up for the kind of professional development, set them up for the right networking and mentorship, because they're not accessing or spending as much time on the high value activities.
You've probably all heard me say this before, but creating a workplace culture that supports equality is the key to removing the barriers that women experience at work, especially for young women entering the workplace for the first time. These work cultures generally include three factors. That is, leaders who are willing to take action, diversity efforts that include men, and workplace practices that encourage employees to be themselves.
What's interesting is that where we see organizations embracing that culture, we see a difference for the young women in those organizations. So, for example, if we're talking about advancement, now the tables are turned. In organizations with a culture of equality, women are 6 times more likely to rise to senior manager positions than they were in companies without that culture. And then, kind of adding to that, within that culture, so they're more likely to be promoted. And then there's also twice as many young women who aspire to be promoted. And obviously that's the first step, is making sure women are aware, confident, and feel capable to aspire to be promoted to that senior leadership level. We also see, improved satisfaction. So women are more than twice as likely to say that they love their job most of the time. It's a pretty stark difference. 95% say that they love their job most of the time versus 39%. So much better satisfaction in those kind of cultures. And then retention is much higher as well. So they're nearly twice as likely to plan to stay or not plan to leave. And they're satisfied with their progress in those cultures of equality.
When it comes to organizations, there is a saying, that leaders drive culture and culture drives performance. But the same could be said when it comes to equality. Leaders create the culture which either supports equality or it doesn't. According to Mary, solving inequality at work requires that leaders understand the challenges employees experience day to day and tackle these issues from the ground up.
A great example of this, in my mind, from personal anecdotes, you know, we at Accenture obviously have that bold leadership. We've put forward and articulated striking goals around gender diversity. But at the same time, we have to figure out what are the right policies and practices to make that happen. And understanding that from the ground up is really important. And so I was actually, when I came back from leave with my first son, who's now 4, I was part of a small ad hoc group where we call ourselves moms, mothers on the move. And it was a set of consultants who had come back from maternity leave. And we came back and we looked around, and as consultants, you're typically expected to travel, you're expected to serve your clients' demands. And we looked around and we said, this is really hard. How are other mothers doing it? And we need to band together and we need to think about this carefully. And so it started as a small group. I think we're now up to almost 1,100 moms who are part of this ad hoc network. But we actually put together a business case for maternity leave. When I went on maternity leave with my first son, we had 8 weeks. And we looked around at the industry, we looked at the value, and we put forward a business case that said, we think Accenture, and this was for the United States specifically, you know, we think there's a business case to be had here for 14 weeks of maternity leave. And we took that to our old leadership, and they said, thank you very much for all this data, you know, and telling us what's important to you. And it was not just the parental leave. It was a whole slew of things like better support from our caseworkers. And here's what people need to understand on day one when they learn they're pregnant and, you know, and want to engage with the organization. What's the checklist? Can we have a call with those people and set it up? You know, this whole range of things that we thought would make life better. When we brought that 14 weeks to our leaders, they actually turned around and said, that's great. Thank you for the data-driven business case. And actually, you know what? Let's just double it and make it 16 weeks effectively. And so I think it's that combination for me of, you know, grassroots, figuring out what the right comprehensive actions are for the organization, and then working with the bold leadership that's setting the strategic direction to actually implement and support those policies and practices.
And the best part about doing this is that creating cultures of equality is something which benefits everybody.
If you think about parental leave for both men and women, there's a positive impact for the women themselves, but there's also a positive impact for men. And in the last few weeks, I have spoken with several men in the organization here that are taking full advantage of their parental leave as a primary caregiver and taking many weeks off, which is different than what I've seen in the past. And they're taking it off in a way that they're very excited about it. It's creating less concern that, you know, women are the only ones taking these big blocks of time out to do the leave, right? So there's not as much stigma on it. And then also it helps bring an understanding for men of, you know, what women are going through and the challenges of returning, you know, after taking a few months off and what that looks like. So I think it benefits when we have policies that are addressing the whole organization, both men and women. It helps the women not be differentiated and kind of held up as different, but it also helps the men take advantage of those policies as well. It helps them, you know, bring their whole selves to work. It helps them come to work in an environment where they feel like they have the ability to be creative, to be flexible, to bring their whole personality and everything about them to work.
When it comes to creating environments where women have equal opportunities, here are the actions that Mary says every leader can take up.
I think one of the most important things is to create an empowering environment. And that's a little bit of what I talked about, right, where every employee feels empowered to bring their whole set of capabilities to the business environment. And it brings a respect for the individual to the workforce. I also think that understanding the impacts of policies and of culture immediately in a career path is absolutely critical. The earlier this happens, the further behind women get in the pay gap and in the advancement gap. And so I think that from day one, it's doing things like making sure that even when you're hiring and looking at starting salaries, that if women aren't negotiating for themselves, that you ensure that they're brought in at a fair pay scale, right? Looking for those opportunities to bring them the kinds of professional training, networks, mentors, as early in their careers as possible to help them overcome those kinds of gaps. And then, you know, I think it's also important for leaders, both men and both women, to understand and take the time to learn how to mentor a full and diverse workforce. So, you know, not looking for ways to mentor people who are like you because it's comfortable and it's safe, but looking for ways to understand how to become a better mentor for those who might not be like you and how to bring them along and bring forward their strengths to make the organization even stronger.
While inequality is an organizational issue that needs bold leaders and action to fix, Mary says there are a few things that women can do to manage the day-to-day challenges.
Whatever culture, whatever environment that they're in, look for those opportunities to overcome the challenges we know are the ones that hold women back. Even if it's in a small way, make sure that you're getting exposed to digital, to tech, because that is where the world is going, right? We're not just going to be in a world that has technology in it. Every single one of our interactions in the future are going to have some sort of technical touch point. And so I think it's critical that women, even if it doesn't seem like a friendly environment to get into technology and coding, being comfortable with that and pushing themselves to overcome that technology gap is really important. And then I think it falls in line as well with the professional training, the mentoring, building networks. If there's not a network, set one up. You know, make sure that you are exposing yourself to the best kinds of training, mentors, and networks that you can have access to. Step two is, you know, the job market is very fluid. And what I would say is, if you're in a position where that culture of equality is not working, right, or if you're looking at a position that that culture of equality is not there, I would strongly encourage you to find a place where the culture is one that is supportive of both men and women. I mean, we've seen time and time again, and you know, in the results for the survey, it's absolutely critical to find that place that fits your own personal culture, but is also supportive and empowering to all the individuals in that organization, because that's where you're going to find the most success and the most satisfaction.
On today's Fairy God Boss Insights, we're going to be talking about a recent report published by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or the OECD. Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden, collectively known as the Nordic countries, have been leaders in the development of modern family and gender policy. According to the study, entitled Is the Last Mile the Longest? Economic Gains for Gender Equality in Nordic Countries, improvements in gender equality have contributed significantly to the economic growth of Nordic countries. The report analyzed the impact of family-friendly policies implemented across the region since the 1960s. According to the report, gains in gender equality as a result of these policies are responsible for boosting the region's GDP per capita between 10 and 20%. These policies include subsidized healthcare, care for the elderly, and paid parental leave for both parents. While the policy details vary across each country, they are united by a common theme, which is the support for the continuous full-time employment for men and women, regardless of parenthood. As a result of these policies, the Nordic countries have amongst the smallest gender gaps when it comes to labor force participation, employment, and weekly working hours. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you haven't subscribed to my newsletter, The Fix, then please sign up, because each week you'll receive exclusive insights from our episodes, as well as practical tips and inspiring content on how we can all advance women in the workplace and beyond. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media. a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.